And from The Awakened Soul by Gibran. If your knowledge teaches you not the values of things, and frees you not from the bondage to matter, you shall never come near the throne of truth.
Shall I go?
It's up to you.
Okay. I will.
Hmm?
I will.
Okay.
Oh, boy. I've noticed we've been meditating longer. Yeah, really. Up, down, stretch around.
Let's do head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Don't want you too present in the body, but... All right. It's always fun in the beginning for me to get going, because in the meditation, actually, there's so much that came forward to share. But I always like to move into just that flow of loving so it comes out evenly, right? Instead of all at once. You know, it's always a wonderful process of how this experience of awakening into the loving works. And, you know, a lot of my experience on this level in the body has been really one of giving and receiving. And it's in those two words, I guess, of describing, giving and receiving, is really simply that movement, that expression of that flow of spirit, of the loving, of all of it, whatever you want to call it. I mean, isn't it amazing when you look at all of even the physical creation? It's always in motion, even things that appear inanimate, such as this chair. Well, there's a motion that even created this object. And even though it may appear as stagnant, over time, in a sense, it disintegrates. There's a movement, no matter how slow it is. And of course, there's a faster pace. You know, as we move into higher forms, as we call them, of expression or evolution, it gradually takes on a greater pace of movement, a higher vibration or frequency. And such as it is, as we continue to move beyond the physical into the other levels of consciousness. And every level, astral, causal, mental, etheric, soul, spirit, it is that increase of vibration, of frequency, of movement. And that in that, all things are present in the moment. All things are known in the moment. The higher we go and move into the greater oneness, we are one with all things. Just as they talk about the speed of light, it's amazing how fast that is. I forget what it is. What is it, 100-something thousand miles per hour or whatever?
186,000.
186,000. Wow. It's funny to move that fast. And it's funny they call it the speed of light. That's just the physical level. Just the physical level of it. But as you tap into that, boom, just like that. So there's movement, very rapid, very slow. And in that movement, in this human experience, the way that I have found myself to move into the greater experience of all of them has been through this action of giving and receiving. But also, I like to say, maybe rather, receiving and giving as well. Isn't it interesting? Even as we're born into this physical body, the first experience of life, physical life, is on the breath, right? Without breath, there's no life to this body. When we are born, what is the first breath? An in-breath. We breathe in. We receive. We take in life. And then the exhale, the out-breath, it's giving. Isn't it funny, on the last breath as this body dies? What is it? Exhale. It's amazing. It's amazing. We breathe in, we breathe out. It's a movement. So there's a receiving and there's a giving. And sure, you can flip it around. If you come in from spirit into the body, the soul's giving life to the body. So it's a matter of perspective. But it is that movement. of that receiving and giving, giving and receiving, is how we begin to really, in a sense, awaken to the greater experience of life itself. Well, I'm trying to give a few examples, even in the physical level, that we see even in this physical level, there is that reflection of that greater truth spiritually that does take place in all of creation. But it is simply a movement. But in that movement of that giving and receiving is as we allow ourselves to more consciously participate, to give it our awareness, to involve ourselves by giving our attention, is how we begin to awaken and know the greater truth of that. And so, it's simply an action of involving ourselves and participating in giving and receiving in all ways. Of course, I'm going to bring it to meditation to begin with, but I'm going to bring it into the physical as well. But let's begin with the meditation. As we go inside and we bring our attention to the seat of the soul, we simply come present here. And in coming present and open, we open to the experience of that greater movement. And in my experience, often now, before I even begin that expression of loving to God, just as I open, I'll see that purple light, that movement of God's loving coming to me. So I'm even already receiving before I even start giving. And other times, it's like, oh man, I don't see anything. I'm not aware of that movement of receiving loving. And then I begin loving. And then in that movement of loving that I do, there's the movement. So if I'm giving, who's receiving? God's receiving. But in that giving, that as I give of that movement within me, it also opens the door by which I can now receive as well that circle of life. It appears as giving and receiving. In truth, it's just a movement, a oneness. There's no giving or receiving. But in this expression, in this experience here, physically, there is that action. That's part of the awakening here, is beginning to recognize that action of giving and receiving, because it is in our conscious participation in that, as we involve ourselves, that we begin to have that greater experience of truly the knowing of that spirit of loving. And so in meditation, we open, we receive God's loving to come awake, to know what that is. We give of our loving to God. And as we make that effort of giving, it begins to move, to stir, where maybe it was stagnant, or maybe we just weren't aware that it was even there. But as in the conscious participation in taking action, that we begin to, in a sense, unstick ourselves to begin to create motion in that place maybe have been stagnant, closed down, shut off. So we do have our part. That's the taking responsibility, to do our part, to begin to create that inner movement. And as we do that, that's how we open our own door of consciousness, by moving and sharing that loving with the Creator. And as that door is open, then it is now open to also receive. It's a two-way street, I like to say. It may seem one way at first. Once that door is open, we begin to really experience it's a two-way street, both the giving and the receiving. You know, it's interesting, even as children, little babies, we first come in, we're not able to do much for ourselves, to give, to do. We're in a state of receptivity. We're just receiving. The parents, the helpers, are all doing for us. So we're receiving, even physically, we're just receiving. And then as the body matures and grows, it begins to have the ability to do more. And then as we continue to grow, we're even able to now begin to give. It's fun to even watch parents with their children as the kids are even learning how to talk. Some of the beginning words are learning how to say, thank you. Thank you. What do you say? Thank you. What is thank you for? For receiving. It's an acknowledgement of that movement of receiving. And one of the wonderful things I've realized too is that at times when we even feel stuck in receiving, this is where I really love watching kids, because they're just more open and free with themselves. They have no problem in asking. Ask and you shall receive, right? There's a big key there. It's fun with kids because if they want something, they'll go ask. Oftentimes they'll just go and take it. And of course the adults say, no, you don't take. So what do? What is the other part of learning as well as thank you? Please, may I, can I? So we begin to learn how to ask. So we begin to, in a sense, create the space by which we can continue to receive that which we are after. So there is the asking and the receiving. And often as we grow up, though, become adults, that bad word, depending, that as we become adults, often we are trained and kind of forget that it's okay to ask, that it's okay to receive. And so in a sense, we put up a wall, a resistance, where we shut off that part. It's not okay to receive from others. I have to give now. I have to do for others. It's not okay to receive. And often sometimes we move into that place, if we have children, we're always giving to the children. So in a sense, we've trained ourselves into giving now and kind of simply have lost touch with that part of receiving. And that's all right. It doesn't happen necessarily on a daily basis. Sometimes it's over years of receiving and years of giving. There's a balance no matter what the timeline is. But begin to remember this now as an adult, if you're an adult here. We have many age groups here. I won't go into maturity levels right now because I have to count myself in that. Begin to remember how important it is to receive. And then if you feel shut off, empty, longing, sad, whatever it is, remember you can always ask. And often, that's a lot of the lesson. We simply have forgot how to ask, to open the door so that we can receive. And guess whose responsibility it is, though, to open that door? You've got to, in a sense, be willing to receive. You've got to create the space within you by which you can once again open the door and receive. And it's so simple, by a simple question. May I? Can I? Just asking. However you phrase it. And I mean on every level. Whether it's physically asking for something, or spiritually with God. Ask and receive is a spiritual principle that exists on all the levels. So I'm receiving right now. It's just open. It's so simple. To open that door and allow ourselves to receive. You know, the hardest part of this journey spiritually, it's not the spiritual part. It is that part within, the inner kingdom. All those things we've done within ourselves that have closed the doors. Simplicity is just opening the doors once again. And I know it's challenging at times because we may have lodged the doors pretty heavily shut or locked them or whatever it may be, all the things we've placed as barriers to even get to the door to open. That inner kingdom work is where most of the work is. there's not really much work once you get out of that inner kingdom. When you step out this tenth door into the outer realms from the astral realm up, it really is the hand of God is that radiant form of the spiritual teacher simply taking your hand and lifting you. All we have to do is get to the place where we can step out the door. So it is that inner kingdom journey of getting to here to step out is where the work is. So it's important that we give ourselves the opportunity of taking the time, putting in the energy to do the inner kingdom work, the laugh, loving, acceptance, forgiveness, to love yourself, to accept yourself and all of your frailties, the positive and the negative, and to forgive those things within you where you've placed the blocks, whether it's judgments, fears, greeds, lusts, whatever it is. When you really begin to do more of that inner kingdom work, that's you taking the responsibility of freeing that up within you. God walks with you in that, but God doesn't do that for you. That is your part to do. This whole thing of being a co-creator, how are we going to learn to co-create anything unless we do the work of creation? And a lot of the journey home, in a sense, is uncreating that which we've created. But we can twist it around and say, we are creating now that greater space of freedom and loving. So take the time to create that within you. Be willing. You are able. You are able. But now be willing and actually do that inner kingdom work. All those hurt feelings, all those mental beliefs, those judgments, all the fears, all the fantasies of the imagination of what we wished for and didn't get. Whatever it is on any of those levels, anything that creates an obstacle between you and God and that greater fullness of loving is worth doing that work to dissolve. You know, when we say dissolve and clear and release and let go, yeah, it sounds like it's a negative thing. It's blocking me. Get it out of there. And there's a little bit of truth in there. But what makes the difference is how we approach that within ourselves. It is the approach we take that either releases, dissolves, and clears it, or that keeps feeding it, building it, enhancing it. Because if we go in there, I'm going to love this to get it out of here, that's not loving. That's not acceptance. That's not forgiveness. That's judgment. That's againstness. It is the attitude, the approach that we take as we go inside that lets us know if we really are loving or if we're doing it from a different place. So pay attention even as you do the LAF. That approach within you in which you take in doing that inner work. That's more important to pay attention to, because I know so many people have come up, said, I'm doing the inner kingdom work. I'm doing the forgiveness. I'm doing the loving. Nothing's changing. This doesn't work. I'm glad I don't hear that a lot, but I do hear it. It is because we haven't changed our attitude or our approach. That's the key. So pay attention to your approach or your attitude when you do it, where you are coming from Because it's about you, not about these things that are the blocks. It's not about that. It's not about what they did or I did or what this is inside of me that I'm so upset and judgmental and fearful of. It's about who I am. That's the difference. That's the difference. We're taking it a step further now. I'm not saying just doing the LAF. I'm saying paying attention to who is doing the LAF. Because the truth is, the LAF, the loving, acceptance, forgiveness, are just keys that open the doors to who you are. Because in truth, you are the loving. You are opening the doors through the LAF to let you in through all of these things that you've created. It is you, the loving, that you are bringing into all of these things we call blocks and obstacles. You, the co-creator. Why is it co-creator? Look at God, the Father, the Mother, the Creator. What has it said? We've been made in the likeness of God. God's a creator. God's all loving. Freedom. Openness. So if we've created blocks, we can also create openness. We look to God as the creator to begin to discover how, so that we, as made in the likeness, can do the same. That we can create as God does. But in order to know how to do that, to be the co-creator, we've got to go to the source, to the origin, to know, to learn how to do that. How to love as God loves. How to create as God creates. And so the inner journey of awakening is awakening to become a true co-creator. Truly, as God loves all creation, then we as co-creators also, in our journeys of learning, are learning how to love as God loves, to love all of its creation. So it is up to us as the creators to love all of our creations. No judgment, no fear, no anything other than loving. To become like God. Because that's who we are. That's what the soul is. It's not only like God, but really is God. It's the same. And so remember, as you learn to love all things and use those keys, unlocking the doors, it is you doing the unlocking, and it is you opening the doors to yourself and allowing yourself in all of its expression. That's what creation is. It's simply that expression of loving. Creativity, creation, expression, all of it. It is a movement of that loving. So create the loving. Sounds funny? Because it already is. There's nothing to create if it already is. But in this human experience, it seems as if it is not. So to create the loving, we simply learn the tools and the techniques, and we begin to create. And it's in that creating that we open the doors of that which we truly are. And creating, that expression, is that movement of giving. So as we receive that loving from God, we have that loving to also create with. It seems the polarity of giving and receiving, creating and being the creation, being one with God and being separate from God, These are all different messages, different expressions, different reflections, different experiences of that movement of loving. But always pointing back to the same source in all of its various ways that it is experienced. No, ultimately, first and foremost and last and always, it is always the loving inside with God directly, spiritually. But in the soul's journey of experience, as God put us forth into creation to go forth and experience the greater creation so that we could learn through our experience to become co-creators, to come into the classroom to learn how. So here we find ourselves in this classroom of time and space, and even into this physical body, the classroom of the physical universe, to learn how to create, how to give, how to receive. Because that's how we create, is in the receiving and the giving. So even our physical lives and our expressions here, in that outer reflection, that process of living and doing here, we're learning, we're awakening, we're discovering that dynamic, that action of spirit. And so even look in your physical lives and how you're participating. How are you receiving or not receiving? How have you closed the doors? And more so, what can you do to open the doors? And it can be simply just opening the door or asking for something. But you've got to be willing to open the door. You've got to be willing to receive. Like I said, we're all able, whether you believe that or not, you really are able to do that. It's simply about the willingness to do that. But if you are not even willing to ask, don't be surprised if you don't receive. Be willing to ask. Because in this physical level, the way it's been set up, in God's loving, and that expression and movement of loving, that is, each of us are that divine spark and we are all one in spirit, that in that expression into these worlds, it is through that movement of giving and receiving with one another that we begin to discover and awaken and learn those principles. That's why in this body it's important to receive from others, even physically, and to give physically, because in this level it is an expression of that loving inside. But we lose focus of that. That's why this time of year, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever else holiday there is, it's so wonderful, and at the same time, have you noticed how challenging it is? At the same time. Because it's the time of year where physically we get, in a sense, put upon us through time and space to now have to confront this giving and receiving. The true meaning of it's always spiritual, right? It always came. It came out of religion, out of some spiritual action that took place long ago from some great being. And then, of course, it comes into this material level, and I know so much, oh, it's all about binding and receiving these physical presence and stuff. It's become so material and commercial. Sure, there's a truth in that. But again, it comes to how we approach that. It is not about the physical actions. It is about how we approach things within ourselves. We can approach the holidays and giving presence and receiving presence is just totally physical. Or we can approach it as the sharing and receiving of loving in this physical item we may give or receive is an expression of that. It's up to you. It's up to each of us. It is how we approach things within ourselves that makes the difference. One of the things that I love so much and why I'm just feeling so full and grateful for our Christmas party yesterday, because my experience of coming together in that with all of you is that greater freedom of expression, of sharing our loving, of giving and receiving, whether it's physical gifts or no physical gifts. There's no have-tos, obligations, or requirements. I know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could experience it all the time, especially with family? The obligation of it all? We can. But that's where it's up to us to do the inner kingdom work. Because that sense of obligation or requirement, the feeling of a should or a have to, that is inside of us. Instead of resisting and resenting how that feels, sounds, or looks like within us, if we would simply turn our loving and loving that to free it and allow the loving to come through, that just begins to go away. And then we begin to find that greater expression of loving, not only at gatherings like yesterday, but then to even carry that into other gatherings with family, friends, whoever, wherever. Even those places where you felt so obligated, you really can begin to bring that freedom that you can create within yourself to all situations. I know, because I've done it, and I continue to do it because I like it so much, the experience of it, even with my own family. I know what those obligations feel like. Oh man, I know what they feel like. But in doing the inner kingdom work and the outer kingdom work of the names of God, both together, it's not one or the other. The fullness is in both, the inner and the outer. The names of God for the outer realms and the LAF for the inner realms. In doing that, I also know what it's like to experience the freedom where once there is the obligation. And that's nice to have. No matter where you go, no matter who you're with. And if anything, where you experience the most challenging, thank God that awareness has come forward so that you now have the opportunity to begin to free that up where before it was unconscious and it was running you and you didn't even know it. Now you're conscious. So that you can begin now in that consciousness to consciously love it, to accept it, to forgive it. That's the blessing of having all these challenging things that arise within us, is it brings our conscious awareness to it so we can now begin to work with it, to free it. It's not a curse. It's not out, Lucifer's out to get me, or God's after me for all you God-fearing people. Nobody's out to get you. You've just gotten yourself. So now get yourself out. It is a lot of fun, even when it's not. But even if you don't see these things that seem as curses as truly blessings, hear the words we're sharing. Begin to look at it. Begin to work with it. Be willing and take the action. You do have the ability. Now take the action in your willingness. And don't ask how long. Just keep doing it until it's done. And even when it's done, I'll tell you what, you got to keep doing it so it doesn't come back. Gravity always pulls you down. And even once you're free of it, if you're still in it, it's still going to pull you down unless you keep doing those things that keep you free. It's just the nature of it. So even when you get free of something and you know it, if you stop doing what produced it, you'll find in a short time it starts to kind of come, creep back in there. And you're like, oh my God. That's right. Oh my God. Thank you, God, for bringing that to my awareness so I can keep doing what I did to produce the freedom, to keep the freedom and expand the freedom into yet more. That's the wonderful thing, is we really live and do these things. Not only do we get free, but as we keep living it and doing it more fully, it expands. That's the overflow. It fills us. We open the doors to let it in on every level in that inner kingdom till it's full. We're free. But then now it begins to rise back up. So we are truly full. And we begin to now go out. And there's that fountain of light that now begins to overflow. And then it can begin to serve others. Not out of our doing, not of our wanting, not out of anything other than that's what it does automatically, because that is the nature of loving. It's always moving, always expanding.